Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Samachei. We are holding seven lines off the top of the Amud. Amar Abaye, Hayman de Masik, Zuzi, the Rebisa Bechabrei. So, a fellow lent money with interest. And they set the interest rate at, let's say, you know, one zuz. Okay, you owe me a zuz of interest. And instead of actually giving him a coin for that interest payment, he substituted that with grain, with wheat. Amar Rabbi, Hayman de Masik Zuzza. The Rebbe, the Gersa says, Zuzza. So he's owed one zuz of ribis, the ribis of a chavre. So the friend is going to give him a zuz for the ribis. V'ka'azli, chiti, and the going market rate for wheat was arba gravy, four, you know, amounts for sa'ah, let's say, of wheat, bezuzah, per zuz, b'shuk in the market, right? V'yavli, yu chamisha. And Shimon, in paying that ribis payment with his wheat, decided to give him an extra bonus. He gave him 5 pounds instead of four. Now, when we extract that ribis back from Reuven, because that's the halacha, we're working with the conclusion that we had, that we're going to have an Amud Beis, which is like the opinion that ribis ketsutza, set, pre-determined ribis, is yoitz o b'dayonam, the dayonam, the courts can compel the lender to return that money. He's required to give it back. So how much is he required to give back? Because really, technically, he was only owed one zuz of ribis. Thing is that the borrower gave a bonus, gave him an extra pound of wheat. Ki mapkinim menei, so then when we take it back from Reuven, arbo mapkinim menei, he's only required to return 4 pounds, which was you know, the value of the ribis, the zuz. Idach, what about the extra pound? Oizuli hu de kamoizel gabei, Shimon was just, you know, giving him the wheat at a discount. And he gave an extra sa'ah as a bonus. But really, he was only obligated to give him 4 pounds on account of that zuz. So technically, 4 of the 5 is ribis. The other one is just, you know, an add-on. He doesn't have to return that. So that's Abai's opinion. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar Chamisha. All 5 pounds. Ma pkina mene are taking away from Reuven. You know why? Because they're all labeled ribis payment. Dimikara beteres ribisa osli yadi. How did Reuven get a hold of this shipment? Be it 4, be it 5. The fact is, it was all as a ribis payment. And, you know, if he wouldn't be taking ribis, he wouldn't be getting any wheat, right? So the extra fifth, the extra pound, was a bonus, sort of an expanded ribis. It all falls under the ribis umbrella, and he loses it all. He has to give it all back. Varam Abai, comes Abai with another halach. Haima de masik abo zuzi de ribis b'chavrei. If a person is owed 4 zuz of ribis, v'yavili glima b'gavai. And the borrower, instead of money, gave him a garment. For ribis. Now comes the time to compel Reuven to repay the ribis. Arba mapkidim enei, we force him to pay 4 coins, $4, but glima, the actual garment that he received in exchange for that ribis, glima mapkidim enei, we don't force him to return the actual garment. Because the ribis ketsutza, the deal was on money, you owe me 4 coins. The fact that he gave him a garment instead is just like a, it's like a sale. He sold him the garment in lieu of the ribis. So that's not technically ribis. Right? So he's compelled to return the ribis in money, you know, form, in coin form. He doesn't have to give back the actual garment. Rav Amar, he disagrees. Glima mapkinim minei, we force him to give back the glima itself. My time, you know what? Ki echad lo lemru. Technically, I would go with Abaye, but it doesn't look well. People, we don't want people to say glima de machsi vekoy. Look that coat that he's wearing, beautiful coat. Glima de ribiso is a ribis coat, and that brings to sort of you know, losing value for the severity of ribis. People might get the wrong impression that, you know, ribis is allowed, so he has to give back the actual coat. Amar Rava, Here's another halacha. Ahiman de masik treisar zuzi de ribis b'chavrei. Suppose Reuven is owed 12 coins of ribis. Va'agir lechatzar. So now Shimon, instead of actually paying him the money, he allowed Reuven to rent his chatzar, his property. You know, the metaga basara, who's going, you know, rate, rental rate was 10, and he rented it for 12. To sort of cancel out the ribis debt. They lent it him for 12, which was above market rate. So again, Shimon borrowed money from Reuven and committed to give Reuven some ribis in the amount of 12 coins. Reuven turned around and rented Shimon's property, which was really worth 10, you know, zuz per month or per year, whatever. And he agreed to hike the price and accepted upon himself as a 12 zuz property, which would effectively cancel out that ribis. Now comes time to take the ribis back from Reuven. How much is he compelled to give back? He has to give back all 12. Because that's what he got for his ribis. Hold it. He didn't really get 12. He didn't get full value. He took a rental which was really valued at 10. He agreed to accept it for 12, right? To deem it as 12, but it wasn't really, he didn't really get his value. He didn't really get his money's worth. Why can't Reuven respond by saying, look, agra hachi? The reason why I was willing to consider a 12 zuz rental, because I was really gaining a lot from it. It was part of the ribis arrangement and it was all profit. So I was willing to sort of, allow that give. But I'm not gaining from it. In fact, I'm losing from it. I'm compelled to repay all this. So let's just look at actual value. What did I get? I only got 10, not 12. Could the agri kuli alma hu da garna? I'm renting like anybody else. I wasn't willing to accept it at a higher rate. Mishum d'amalei, because we tell him, look, too late. Sabras v'kiblis. You knew, and you accepted it upon yourself as a 12 zuz rental. Right? You agreed to rent it at a higher rate. You can't change it. You can't go back on that. Even though the basis for that agreement has drastically changed on you, but the fact is you have committed to rent it for 12 in lieu of the ribis, so now you've gotten that benefit, which we consider a $12 benefit, 12 zuz benefit. You have to return that as ribis, repayment. Says the Mishnah, Marben al aschar, vein marben al mecha. So you're allowed to increase on sachar, on rentals. You can agree to pay a higher rental rate when the in exchange for the owner allowing you a late payment arrangement. You can't do the same when you purchase a property. Ketzad, how does this work? Okay, his kilo is chatzeri. Reuven had a chatzer, a property. He rents it to Shimon. He says, look, how do you wish to pay for this? Lump sum now or month by month? If you pay it to me lump sum right now for the whole year, I'm going to give it to you at a discount. 10 sela per year. But if you pay me monthly, it's 1 sela per month for a total of 12. Is that okay? Muta, that's fine. And then we'll explain, because really he's meant to be paying per month. That's when his rental fee comes due, right? Month by month. So that's the given. The actual rate is 12 sela per year. Now, if he's willing to pay ahead of time, me as the landlord, as the owner, I'm willing to forego, 2 sela. That's okay. I can rent it to you for an annual fee, which is less than a monthly fee. That's fine. Okay, so I can do that. That's not ribis. But when it comes to a a sale. Machar le esodeu. Reuben is selling his field to Shimon, not renting, selling. But Amar le, he says like this. If you pay me now, the full amount, you can take it for 1,000. If you wait until the harvesting season when you'll put together your funding, then I'll charge you more. That's ribis. If you pay me then at the garden, it's 12 mana. Mana is 100 zuz, so it's 1,200 instead of 1,000. Also, that's not allowed. Because he's meant to pay now. You see, it's different than a rental that you pay monthly. A sale is meant to be paid for at the time of sale. Right? So you owe me the money now. The fact that I'm waiting for the money, that's like lending you the money. And I'm charging you for it. The fact is, I'm charging you a fee. Late payment gets a fee. That's ribis. Late payment is ribis. Late payment fee is ribis. Right? So all the credit cards and all. Late payment fee is ribis. But in the first situation, he was just giving him a discount because of early payment. Monthly rental payment is standard. Pay per month. If you give it to me lump sum, you choose to give it to me lump sum, I'm willing to forego, to drop the rate. That's fine. Okay, the more we'll explain this. Maishna Reisha, why is it okay in the Reisha with the rental? Well, Maishna Seifa, why is the increase due to the late fee in the Seifa not okay? Says the Gemara, very simple. Rabba Rav Yosi, they will explain like this. They both provided a very clear-cut reason. Right? So basically, by rentals, I can add. Right? If it's monthly, I can charge more. By the sale, I can't add more for late payment. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, Schirus Eino Mishtalemes El Basayif. When is one meant to pay for a rental? At the end of the rental period. Okay, at the end of the month, end of the year, that's when you pay your rent. So now, when it's still pre-rental, he's renting now for the rest of the year. So now, the time for collection of that rent has not yet arrived. Still early in the game. Lav agarnatale. So, when I charge you one seller per month, that's not agarnata. I'm not charging you a fee for delaying payment, for holding on to my money. No. Mishvu d'chachishavya. That's the actual value of the property. One seller per month. And Vaida Kamerle, and the fact that he's turning around offering him a steal of a deal, you pay me lump sum in full today, I'm going to drop the rate. That's a discount. That's fine. I'm not charging you more for paying me monthly. Monthly is standard. Now I'm dropping Vaida Kamerle ima achshav. And this that he's offering him, that if you pay me now, right, the full amount, that nicely, I'm going to drop the bright harik l'chab esor slaim l'shan oizuli hu d'kamoiz l'gabay. He's offering it to him at a discount. That's fine. But in the Seifa, in the case of the fellow who's selling a field, there's the other way around. The starting point is that he's meant to pay in full today. Right? So that's the actual rate. And when he adds to the amount due to the late payment, that's called agarnata. That's ribis. Because he's paying for delaying his payment, paying for holding on to that money. Since it's a sale, he's meant to be getting that sale money payment now. So then when he increases due to that late payment, that's agarnata. Agarnatale huvas. Amar Rava, Dakuba Rabban Bamils Rabban actually searched to find some sort of support, some sort of hint, some sort of source for this concept that rent is meant to be paid at the end of the rental period. And they established it, they pegged it to a pasuk, because schir shana b'shana as a rental of a shana b'shana, which means schirus shoshana zu eina mishtalemes el b'shana acheres. The rental amount, the rent payment for year A is meant to be paid at the end, meaning at the beginning of year B, at the end of year A's rental period. So schirus is meant to be paid at the end. Amar of Nachum, Tarsha. Tarsha explained the Rishonim is a lashon of quietness, like a silent ribbis. It's like sort of a hidden ribbis. Or at least it looks like ribbis. But it's by way of some sort of transactional deal, and that's okay, shari. It's mutter. What does this mean? So Rashi explains. What happened was like this. He offered some schayra, some merchandise to a salesman on consignment. Sorry. He offered it to a customer. Right? He offered some merchandise to a customer. And he delivered the merchandise, but the customer didn't have, any funds. So he says, look, pay me in a month's time. And he's increasing. He's charging him more than he would typically charge if he would be paying today. So that's mutter, provided he doesn't actually stipulate that. He doesn't, clearly stipulate, look, you have two options. Pay me today, it's X. Pay me then, it's Y. That would be considered ribbis, because he's clearly charging for that, delay in payment. But if he doesn't stipulate that, he just says, look, you want the bananas? Gzuntehe. When are you paying me? In a month's time? Okay, it's going to be this and this. That's fine. Because that's the fee, that's the price that he's charging. That's fine. Eisvei Rami bar Chama l'Rav Nachman. He had a kasha to Rav Nachman. V'amil, some say it was Rav Uk bar Chama l'Rav Nachman. What does our Mishnah say about that? It says that if he's charging for that late payment, that's asur. V'im l'goyrin b'shnei masar mana asur. So why is this different? Amalei says big difference. Hasam Kutzli, there in the Mishnah, he's offering two options. Pay today, it's 1,000. You pay later on, it's 1,200. That's ribbis. Hachalei Kutzli, in our case, he didn't stipulate anything like that. He didn't give him two options. He just says, look, you want it today? Fine. When you pay me then? Okay, it's X. That's fine. On a papa, tasha didi, vadei shari. I have another form of this tasha, this sort of delayed payment at a higher rate, which is certainly mutter. Rapapa, as we know, was a wealthy beer maker. So he says like this, I would sell my beer early in the season. Rashi says during Tishrei time, which was still way pre-season. And I'd only receive payment Nisan time, which was really the start of the season. So due to that delay in payment, I would charge more. That's okay. My timer, why is this certainly okay? Look, he says, I'm not getting anything. I'm not looking to make a profit. I'm not in a hurry to sell this stuff. I'm just doing him a favor. Shechroi le'pasel. Look, my beer is not going to spoil in the meantime. Zuzi le'tzrich. I don't need the money. Right? So, I'm not in a rush to sell. I know the kavid ne'milsa. I'm just trying to help the customers. So, I'm just making a vid ne'milsa. I'm just making a deal with him. Right? He wants the thing. Now, I'll give it to him now. But I'm only willing to accept Nissan's price, higher price, because you know what? I can just wait patiently till Nissan and sell it at the established rate. So I'm not really gaining from selling early on, and therefore it's not considered ribbis. Look, you're taking your own perspective, your own angle. Right? What was he saying? Look, I'm not gaining, my stuff's not spoiling, I don't need the money, right? Fine. So on your end, it's not ribbis. Zilba said it too. But look at their side of the coin, so to speak. They're actually laying out extra money because of this late payment. The ilu havalu zuzi, because suppose they would have actually have funds available. Havu shakli ki hashta. They would find it available for sale at this pre-season grab rate. Right, at a lower discount rate. Hashtag less was Zuzi, but now because they don't have money, they're forced by you to pay the higher rate. Right? The full market rate, the Nissan rate. Shakli Kyukri Kamei. They're gonna be buying based on the Yukra, the higher rate of later on. So he disagreed with the Heter. He says, no, it is a form of ribbis. Amar Khama Tasha Divadi Shari. I have a different type of Tarsha. Different type of buy-sell arrangement, which is certainly okay. So what was going on with Rav Chama's Tarsha? Rashi explains like this. Rav Chama would sell, different types of merchandise. And he lived, let's say, in town A, where this merchandise was actually cheap. And he would give it to somebody, to a salesman, to deliver it to point B, where actually these items are worth more. And these merchants, these salesmen, would pay Rav Chama the higher rate. Okay? And why were they doing this? So first of all, Rashi says he was Mekabel Achrayis. He was responsible for the well-being of this shipment, you know, until it gets to point B. So that's first of all. And number two, the salesman who delivered the items and sold it there had some gain, because they used to take the money that they made off the sale and they would now invest it. They would purchase material that can be, you know, obtained in that location. And bring it back to here, and I guess they would make some money on that you know, merchandise when they would sell it here, right? So ultimately they would profit from the deal. But again, Rav Chama also profited, because initially they paid him for his merchandise, which they were going to deliver to point B. They paid him the higher price, the going price in point B, which was a higher rate than point A, where Rav Chama lived. So it would appear like there's a ribbis issue, because they're essentially borrowing this money, because they're going to be selling the stuff and holding on to the money, using it to reinvest. So they're really borrowing money, and they're offering Rav Chama profit. But there's no ribbis issue. It's not an issue. Why? It says, my time. Because they actually gained from this too. They had lots of gain from this, and that was motivating them to do this. Because they welcome the fact that, you know, the items, the merchandise, which they're delivering to point B, is considered mine, is owned by me. Because wherever they go, they get a free pass. Shav kilu michsa. So the customs officials cancel the customs, the taxes, because they're representing a Talmud Chacham, right? Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay these taxes. V'nokadu shuka, and also they hold up the market. They give them priority in terms of selling the merchandise, because the Talmud Chacham gets priority, and you know, he goes first. So basically, they get all these privileges. And they get much gain from this whole deal. And therefore, it's considered a win-win, and it's not considered like they're paying him ribbis. So there's room to think that there is a ribbis concern, because the fact is they're toiling, they're making the effort to get my stuff sold, they're transporting it there, and they take, right? So basically they're doing me a service. Apparently, in exchange for me lending them this money, allowing them to, you know, convert it into money and use that money. But the answer is no, they're gaining a lot from the fact that they're representing me, and it's gain all around. It's not called ribbis. Says the Hilchos of Rav Chama. So let's conclude the past few sugyos. First of all, we pass on like Rav Chama, which he was the person who was involved in the most recent discussion. So that's okay. Belchasakar Belazer, a follower of Belazer. Oh, this is way back regarding the Shaila, whether we require a lender to return ribbis. And the answer is yes. And finally, Belchasakar Biyano, we pass on Rabiani as well. Domar Mali Hein Mali Dmeir. That was the halacha there regarding buying, you know, futures, right? Could a person enter into a contract, a seasonal contract? Look, I'm paying you X amount for a delivery of this merchandise throughout the season, and you know, we're pegging it at today's market value, and allowing you to deliver to me later on, even if it rises in value, and you're allowed to do that. And contra Vianai, it's irrespective whether I'm getting hain or dmein, whether I'm getting the actual material that I purchased today, you know, the wheat or whatever, umali dmein, or you're going to be offering something in exchange for that wheat. It, or money, it doesn't matter. So even if I initially gave you $100 for that, you know, shipping the wheat, and the wheat rose in value, and ultimately you're going to switch it for money, and you're going to give him back $200, which reflects the value of that wheat, you know, half a year down the road. That's okay, because it's not really a loan, it's a purchase. It's my wheat that increased in value, and you're just, you know, exchanging it for money. That's okay. Continues the Mishnah. Machar lo esas sada, v'nasan lemikzas damin. Okay, Reuben is actually selling a field to Shimon, and Shimon is giving him, you know, part payment for that field. V'amar lo, and the seller, the meicher, tells the buyer, the lekeach, look, a masa shetirtza, whenever you get around to it, whenever you're up to it, have mois v'tol shalcha, you know, you can deliver the rest of the payment and take your field. So in the meantime, I'm holding on to it, I'm using it. That's not okay, Asr, you can't do that. You know why? Because, look, if the lekeach ends up completing the transaction, so it turns out that really it was his from day one. And all this while, the seller is benefiting. Why is he benefiting? He's getting ribbis on account of the money that's outstanding, the money that's owed to him. Right? That's ribbis. And at the same time, you can't have the loikeach, the buyer, eating the prayers. Because just in case he does not end up completing the deal, and Reuben, the seller, returns whatever deposit he gave to him, he gives it back to Shimon and cancels the deal. So Shimon never really owned the field at all. And technically the money that he had given to Reuben was really a loan. It wasn't part of a sale. There was no sale. And all the while, Lekeach, Shimon is eating the payers. Why? He's getting a fee for the money that he lent Reuben. So this arrangement is us. Next, Hilvo al Sodeo. Now we're speaking about an actual loan. Reuben lent Shimon $1,000,000. And Shimon uses his field as a sort of collateral. V'amrlo, he says to Reuben, look, so Reuben tells Shimon, if you don't repay me $1,000,000 within 3 years, hari yishali, your field turns into mine. Okay, so if he doesn't pay up, the field now reverts to Reuben. So that's fine, hari yishali. And in fact, v'kachaya b'isus ben zunin, that was his name, he would actually practice this type of deal based on the, you know, chachamim's instruction. That's fine. That's a fair deal. Okay, so let's go back to the first case where he actually sold him a field. And he gave him a down payment. And the condition was, look, when you complete the deal, you get the field. So it's a problem because no matter who gets the payers, we run a risk of ribbis, as we explained. So who should take the payers? In the meantime, meyachal payers. Rav Huna Amar, meyachal yachal payers. No problem. Reuben, the seller, can eat the payers. And the Gemara soon will explain why there's no ribbis issue. We're speaking about a specific case. Rav Huna Amar, no, meshal shalans ha-payers. Meshal shalans lashon of a third party, shalish, a shlish. Nobody. Not Reuben or Shimon can access the payers. We give it to a third party to hold on to it. In the meantime, pending further developments in terms of this transaction. There really is no machlekes between these two opinions. They reflect different scenarios. Rav Huna, who says the seller can hang on to the payers, Ha da Amar is speaking, what he told him, L'chi ma'is is kani. He says, look, I appreciate your down payment, but it's not really yours yet until you complete the deal. So until then, it belongs to Reuben. He can have the payers, right? Huh? But Rav Anan, who says it's problematic, is speaking to Amr, where he said the chimais is kli me'achshav. He tells Shimon, look, as soon as you pay up for the field, it's yours, starting from today, starting from, you know, the initiation of this transaction, mafre, retroactively. So there's an issue, as we explained, because it can turn out that somebody had ribbis. Tani Rav Safra. Rav Safra had a brisa, which was included in Rav Chia's compilation of brises, of ribbis-oriented brises, presenting sort of four categories within this halacha of a fellow who sold a field and received a down payment. The situation where both the moicher or the lekeach can access the peiros without any concerns. Pa'amim shishneim asurim. At times they're both asur. Upa'amim, at times we have sha moicher mutar lekeach asur. Reuben can take it, not Shimon. And sometimes the other way around. Pa'amim, and at times it reverses. Sha lekeach mutar moicher asur. Shimon can and Reuben cannot. Only Rava Basra, so Rava responded, you know, after this statement was made, he came and explained exactly what and when. How do we apply each one of these halachas? Pa'amim shishneim mutar. When are both allowed to access the peiros of this sort of pending sale? Do amar lekni kishir zuzach. Oh, Reuven initially told Shimon, look, I'm selling you the field. I'm willing to sell you the entire field for $1 million. But you know what? You can take it incrementally. You pay 100, you get a part of the field. Pay not, right? You can take possession of the field in proportion to the payment amount. So perfect. Whatever he pays, he gets. So we can have both Reuben and Shimon benefiting from the field simultaneously. He takes his part, he takes his part. There's no issue there. Whatever is sold or is not, belongs to Reuben. So then we say Shnei Mutarim. They can both sort of partner in the field. Pa'amim is Shnei Masurim. We have a situation where they both cannot, as we explained before. Damalei, we told them, L'chi maisis, k'ni me'achshav. I appreciate your down payment, and as soon as you get around to paying the rest, it's yours retroactively from now. So as we explained, that carries the risk of ribis, right? As explained. Pa'amim moicher mutav l'kech asur. You have a situation where the seller can and the buyer cannot. Damalei was speaking that he told them, L'chi maisis, k'ni, take the field. Thanks for the down payment, but it's not yours until you finish paying. Until then, it's the meicher's. Fair and square, right? And pa'amim shalakeach muta. Who meicher also, sometimes the lekeach has it, but not the meicher. The amr lekni me'achshav. Was speaking that Reuben offered him the field for sale. And you know what? Take it all. It's yours now. V'zazoi lahav v'alvol gabach. And the rest of the payment is an outright loan. He stipulated that it's an outright loan. So here, the moicher has to keep hands off, because if he takes anything from the field, it's like he's getting paid for that delayed payment. He's getting a fee for the loan. So here the lekeach, strictly lekeach, takes it, not the moicher. Now, mantana, let's go back to the first case. Mantana shnei masurin. So we have that case where he took the down payment and he says, look, as soon as you complete the payment, it's yours retroactively from day one. So there's a concern because perhaps, right, if the moicher takes the pay raise, if the deal does go through, it really always belonged to the lekeach, and now the moicher benefited because of that, you know, weight in receiving his money. On the other hand, if the deal does not go through, so the money, the initial payment given to the meicher is deemed merely a loan. So what's the lekeach doing eating the peiros? Oh, he's charging for the money that he had sitting by Reuben. That's ribis. So whose opinion is reflected in this halacha? Amar Rav Huna bar Yehoshua, the loik Rav Yehuda. It does not fit with Rav Yehuda, who would allow in this case. He would not consider it a problem. The ik Rav Yehuda, because according to him, ha'amar tzad echad ribis muta. We had this the other day. A tzad echad, meaning when there's only like a chance of ribis being produced. So as long as it's not really an outright loan, it's within a sale, so to speak, within a sale arrangement. So even though there's a chance of ribis being produced, that's not an issue of ribis. And therefore, according to him, since it's not set or determined that there will be ribis, it's an unknown, right? Therefore, it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Mishkin lo bayis, mishkin lo sade. Reuben lent Shimon $1 million, and Shimon offered his house or his sade as a mashkin, as a collateral. V'amar lo, and Reuben tells Shimon, look, I don't really need your house. I'd rather, you know, get your money back, you know, repay me the loan. But if you get to the point that you'll ever sell this extra house, the kshatirtza lemoichram, you know what? I want to make a deal with you. Lo timkerim ela li b'damim halalu. I would like you to sell it to me. And, you know, it's really worth $2 million, but you know what? The loan was $1 million, I'll add you another 500,000, 1.5, and you'll sell it to me, right? You can't do that, it's usur. Because he's basically forcing him to sell it at a discount due to the fact that he lent him money. That's ribbis. But let's say he's going to buy it at face value, at market value. That's okay, because he's not really taking extra. Man tana b'dam alala asr. Now, once again, who holds that in the first case it's asr, despite the fact that it's not a clear-cut, predictable ribbis? Perhaps he'll never sell it, right? So why is it asr? Amar Rav Huna, bray. So Rabbi Yeshua, once again, they like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not following Rabbi Yehuda. They like Rabbi Yehuda because according to him, Hamar, he says, Sad echad ribbis muta. When there's only a sort of a chance that a sale will sort of develop into ribbis, it's okay, and therefore in this case as well, it'll be okay. You have another case. Machale bayis, machale sade. Reuben actually sells a house or a field to Shimon. And Reuben stipulates as follows. I don't really want to sell this property. I'm desperate, right? But the kashiyuli mois, when I get a hold of money, hachzirimi, I want you to give me back this field. Is that okay? Awesome. You can't do that. You know why? Because Rashi says it's not really much of a sale. If he's forcing him to give it back to him as soon as he gets money, so it's like you loaned him money, right? It's like Shimon the buyer just merely loaned money to Reuven for the time being, and all this while Shimon is benefiting from the property. That's called ribbis. But let's say it wasn't the seller who stipulated in the contract. It was the buyer who offered out of the goodness of his heart. He says, you know, I know you're having a hard time. Let me buy it from you. But one day, you know what? If Hashem helps you, when Hashem helps you, you know, and you'll get your hands on money, I will willingly return it. I'll sell it back to you. That's fine because it's a separate transaction. Now it's sold and then he'll resell it to Reuven. Right? So if you offered him, L'kishayiluchamois, when you obtain funds, ach zirumlach, I'm committing myself now to return it to you, to resell it to you. That's okay, that's mutter. But in the first case, it's not. Because it was the seller who stipulated it, and that's pretty much throwing a wrench into the whole deal. It's not really a sale if he's going to force the buyer to resell it. Man tana amrav huna bar Yeshua lo Rabbi Yehuda. So the first halacha does not fit Rabbi Yehuda because, as we said, di Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar tzadechat z'ribis mutter, when it's only sort of an uncertain type of, you know, a sale which can develop into ribbis, such as if he ends up taking it back, that's okay. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no issue there as well. Now, we're trying to explain, first of all. So first of all, so it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, but secondly, let's try to understand what is the difference. We mentioned two cases. One where the seller stipulated, and one where the buyer offered. First time we said it's asr, second time it's mutter. What's the difference? So we explained it. Ma'ishna reisha ma'ishna seifa, amarava, reisha delo amale midaite. In the reisha, it wasn't midaite. He didn't, the buyer didn't offer it, right? It was imposed on him. So it's not much of a sale when you have this sort of clause compelling me to sell back to you. So it's not much of a sale. It's more like a loan than a sale. Seifa, whereas in the second case, Amalei Midaite, it was the buyer who offered it. He volunteered. He initiated it. So there, it's mutter, because even if it turns out that he'll resell it, it's a resale. He bought it now. It's his. And then he's agreeing to sell it back. It's a totally separate transaction. That's not related to ribbis. Okay, so in summary, we spoke about returning any ribbis payments. Suppose he got some material at a discount. Does he have to give back the entire amount or just the ribbis amount? What if he got a garment? Right? So we had a machlekes there. What if he rented a property at a higher rate than normal because he thought he was just getting it as a ribbis thing? How much does he have to repay? Then we had a mission highlighting the difference between increasing on a rental or increasing on a sale. One is usr, one is mutter. We discussed various cases of tarsha, sort of merchandise arrangements. Oh, sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's not. And then we have the Mishnah here, where he sold a sada, receive the down payment. Who eats the pears in the meantime? We had a brisa with four separate categories. And we concluded with some cases of mashkin, of sales, which appear like sales, but have a sort of a loan element to them, which raises a ribbis concern, but according to Abiyuda, it would be mutter. All the best to you, and atzlach rab.